News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Ronan McGreevy is with us, Irish Times journalist and historian.
Morning,
how are you, Ronan? He's going to look through some of the stories you may not yet have seen and give a bit of analysis on some of those that you have. You have a challenge to begin with, Ronan, because you have to unpick a story involving a double bed in a cow trailer that was punched by a man with a broken ankle at a matchmaking festival.
I think if you put this on Father Ted, nobody will believe it. Yes, this is a man who... as you know, the Listoon Varna matchmaking festival is about people of a certain vintage finding love. It's not about ending up with a broken ankle and a broken wrist. This was a high court action taken by a man named Paddy Conway, who sued the defendant, Brendan O'Connell, the driver of a Toyota Avensis that was towing a cow box that he intended to sleep in. So much for the romance of that.
He had brought a double bed in the back of the cow box.
Yeah, I hope he wasn't sharing it with anybody. But anyway, he was driving through the main street of Listoon Varna on the night of the September 8th, 2019, when he ran over the foot of Paddy Conway, who was walking with other pedestrians on the road. And Conway suffered a broken ankle, and he had also, with the pain of it, smashed punched the trailer and ended up with a broken wrist as well. And he sued.
He really put a shoulder into that punch then, if he managed to break his wrist.
He really did, yeah. So he sued for damages in the High Court, which is obviously a very high bar in terms of the damages you can get. But in the course of the evidence, it found that Conway had drank 7 pints of beer and had been told earlier on by Gardaí to move on, as he put it, after a row in the car park. So the judge found that Mr. O'Connell was negligent, but he also stated that Conway was responsible for 40% of his own negligence by, you know, the way he had walked, and that he had contributing negligence for failing to keep a proper lookout for motor vehicles. So Conway sued for €65,000 and he ended up with €39,000.
Have you ever slept in a trailer?
Not in a cow trailer, no. Have you?
I've slept in many trailers, but it's the cow bit that worries me. I mean, how do you get that smell out of it before you put the double bed in is the thing that worries me. Anyway, on more important news, no undue pressure was applied to speed up the Peter Mandelson vetting. This according to Morgan McSweeney, the Irish-born advisor to Keir Starmer, who flung himself on every available sword when giving evidence.
He did. The first thing I was interested in was Morgan McSweeney is one of these rare figures in public life who is a household name, but you'd never heard from him before. And when I was listening to this, I was thinking, can I hear an Irishman here? And it's kind of like one of those fading signals. Like sometimes he sounds Irish. He certainly doesn't sound Cork, but then he does sound British. But anyway, he was in front of a Commons committee yesterday talking about this now infamous appointment of Peter Mandelson as the ambassador to the US, and he denied using language that he urged the then Foreign Office Chief Sir Philip Barton to just effing approve it. And he told the committee, I'm glad I got the chance to set the record straight. I did not swear at Sir Philip Barton. That doesn't mean he didn't have a sort of loud
No, marriage. Nor is it really the material issue at hand.
No, the material issue is at hand. He felt that Mandelson was the best person to deal with the Trump administration in relation to things like tariffs. He thought that Mandelson's experience, relationships and political skills could best serve the national interest. And he admits that that judgment was wrong. What he also said, though, was that he had nothing to do to oversee the national security vetting. He asked official to ignore procedures. So he's basically stating, I made a mistake putting him forward, but the vetting was nothing to do with me.
But he also took on, I would have thought, a very unusual amount of the blame on his own two shoulders, because ultimately his role is to give advice.
Yeah.
It's up to the individual whether or not they accept that advice, whereas he's acting almost as if it was in his gift.
Yeah, and he said, he kind of did and he didn't, because he said, the Prime Minister shouldn't be reliant on just one advisor giving a bad piece of advice. And he said he had, as the political advisor, relied on the information being presented to him. And he did say that, you know, ultimately, you know, there's a famous thing with in politics that advisors advise and politicians decide. So, I mean, Starmer's still in place, but Morgan McSweeney, as he says, like, this decision is going to haunt him for the rest of his days.
Let's stay with how the Irish are getting on abroad. This time, several of them, and the US rather than one in the UK. Fears of ICE arrests at GAA events in the US. Is this true?
Yeah, I'd well believe this. I mean, there used to be a time when, especially with the New York GAA team, I remember when they beat Leitrim a few years back, and there was some fear that they wouldn't be able to travel to Ireland because a lot of them wouldn't be able to get back into the United States. And it really doesn't surprise me what's going on here, that ICE agents are going after any place where immigrants are gathering in force. And, you know, why would the Irish be exempted from this? And there was the Charles Harrison, the international manager for the GAA, he appeared before the Rockless Foreign Affairs Committee yesterday. And he said that there's a couple of major events where there's a large gathering of the Irish diaspora. And he spoke particularly about the Continental Youth Championships. And he says that there's a decline in the attendances there. And it doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Lastly, the transfer window was closing. Patrick Keelty about to become a free agent. Last late of this Friday, and they still haven't signed him up again.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was at the for the Irish Times. I was at the Toy Show launch, and I remember him being asked this question: "Are you going to stay on in RTE?" And there was a sharp intake of breath, and all shall be revealed. That sort of thing. Like he was hedging his bets. I mean, I don't know whether or not he doesn't want to do it, or whether he's just holding out for a bigger pay rise. As we know, there's a pay restraint there. He can't earn more than the DG, who's on 270 grand. So maybe he's just holding
DG's
out.
DG's on 350.
Sorry, yeah. But I don't know what my guess is, and this is, my hunch is that he won't go for.
Really?
I don't think so, no.
Well, if you view 53106 or 087-1400-106, Ronan, thank you very much. Ronan McGreevy, Irish Times journalist and historian. Coming.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.